If y'all would, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for this opportunity to stand before these, your people, and present the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father. Not that I'm not uncompromising, but that your word is uncompromising. Never to be changed, not one jot and not one tittle. So, Lord, with that in mind, as I present this message, Lord, would you use me that lives are changed, lives are challenged, and the name of Jesus is lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Okay. Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Good Shepherd Mass Choir. It's good to be here again today, everybody. Good to see our visitors again. I thank y'all for coming out to be here with us. Today we're going to do a part two. It's a continuation of what we started with last week. We actually started with it on New Year's Eve. Because for this year, I'm just asking for all the saints, all of God's saints here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, just keep one word at the forefront of your thought. And that word is wisdom. Just wisdom. And the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. And we're going to be dealing with part two of pursuing the path of wisdom. Let's read the scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And it reads in the King James Bible, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Get wisdom. Not only does the Bible say get wisdom, but it says wisdom is the principal things. It's the pinnacle. It's the height. It's the opus magnum. It's what we really need to strive for in this world. And as I was preparing for this message, I was playing with my thesaurus and dictionary and stuff. I do that every once in a while just to see what's new in there. And I ran across this literary, what do you call it, literary principle that people use a lot. And it's called the rule of the power of three. The rule of the power of three. Now, last week we talked about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, that's in God's word. That's what we're talking about in God's word. And now I find out that mankind is kind of catching on to some of the things that God is doing, and they have this writing principle, and it's known as the rule of the power of three. And the suggestion is that when people hear things in triplicate, they inherently remember them a little bit better. It has a little bit. It has a greater effect on people being able to remember things. And I think let's put that to the test. Let's put that to the test. Everybody with me, say amen if you're with me. I like to know that I'm here with somebody. Okay, amen. Okay. The rule of the power of three. Probably one of the earliest books that you read as a child was about the three little, now let's try that again. One of the earliest books you read as a child was about the three little, okay. Three blind, y'all doing good. Three strikes and you're, Jesus was in the grave for, and three nights. Power of three helps you keep things in mind. The scripture also tells us that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Today, as we continue pursuing the path of wisdom, I want you to keep in mind three things. Three things that the scripture compels. When he says, get wisdom, when he says, get wisdom, and he says, get understanding, you have three things. His four things that we spoke about last week. When it comes down to wisdom, wisdom is commanded. Wisdom is not a suggestion. Wisdom is commanded for us to seek wisdom because it's the principal thing. God says, seek it. And he says that, and if you don't know it by now, I want you to understand, anything that God tells us to do is for our benefit and his blessing. When I was much younger, I used to think, I thought God was a killjoy, okay, because some of the things he told me don't do, I wanted to do. But I finally come to the understanding, if God says, do it, it's for your benefit. If he says, don't do it, it's for your benefit and my benefit. So he's commanded of us to seek wisdom because it's the principal thing. We talked about, there's two things about wisdom that we need to keep in mind. First, he says, exalt it. That means lift it up. Lift up wisdom. Lift it up so that everybody can see it, y'all. People need to know that you have some wisdom. The Bible says if you lift up wisdom, wisdom will lift you up. And embrace wisdom. Don't just clasp your hands around wisdom like this. He says, clasp, hold tight. Hold tight to wisdom. We get too easily shaken off the truth, y'all. People come along and they say something stupid like, well, where did Cain get his wife? And all of a sudden Christians just go into, their brain goes on tilt. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Where did he get his wife? Some of y'all say, I still don't know. Go look it up. I'm not going to tell you. He married his sister. In the beginning, God created two people. Two people. Adam and Eve. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. That's what I teach. Two people. So who did Cain marry? He married his sister. Because there's nobody else. And if you have a problem with that, Adam married his rib. That's a real close relative. So just read the Bible, whether you understand it or not. The Bible says keep getting wisdom, keep getting knowledge, and understanding will come. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, since God tells us the principle is the principal thing, he says, look at God's provision. If you lack wisdom, he says, all you got to do is ask. He says, come and ask him if you lack wisdom. And he says, I give wisdom to all liberally. Anybody who lacks wisdom, you find yourself in a situation where you just lack. He says, ask me. And he says, I'll give it to you. And understand this, brothers and sisters. As you gain knowledge, as you gain wisdom, as you gain understanding, God will put you through some times of testing. Because how do you know if what you learn is going to stick, y'all? I have a lot of parents who they're afraid to send their kids off away, especially that first year of college. Oh, man, we get nervous about that first year of college because, oh, my goodness, but I got a question for you. If you've put in the work with them, if you've done your homework, how will you ever know if it's going to stick if they don't leave? How will you ever know? God gives us wisdom. God gives us knowledge. God gives us understanding. And then guess what he does? He puts you into the furnace of life, and he lets it get put to the test. And sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail. But guess what? When you fail, all you got to do is say, Lord, I need some more wisdom. And he says, I'll give it to you, and I won't upbraid you. Let's talk about today. That's last week. Let's talk about today the power of three. We're talking about pursuing the path of wisdom. Our first heading, our first point, if you will, is the power of three. Wisdom, which is the skill imparted by God. The definition that you get in the first Hebrew usage is wisdom, skill in war and administration. Knowledge is cunning, awareness, perception. Knowledge is knowing that you have wisdom. Understanding. Last week I gave you the definition of understanding as the application of wisdom and knowledge to life situations. I want to make an addendum to that. I want you to put down the righteous application of wisdom and knowledge. That's understanding. That's true biblical understanding. These three terms, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we can refer to this as God's grammatical three-part harmony of spiritual, moral, and intellectual completeness. God's three-part harmony of spiritual, moral, and intellectual completeness. Don't forget, they said the rule of three. It's a completeness. It's something that makes things kind of stick in your head. The rule of three: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The spiritual and moral and intellectual completeness of God. Those three go together, just like any three-part harmony. If you take any one out, you got problems. Actually, if you take any one out, you got noise. But God puts all three, and he says for us to get all three. Right now, there's many of us, we send our kids to college, and they come out with a ton of knowledge. And some of them go off into different fields. And what happens is they come home shipwrecked. Shipwrecked. Because we fail to put in the understanding, the righteous understanding, the application of that knowledge. Always remember, some of Adolf Hitler's top generals were highly educated men. Some of the guys in ISIS, everybody's thinking about, well, ISIS, you know, these are a bunch of radical, whatever, whatever. Look at their pictures, y'all. The guys who are the spokespeople for them, these boys are educated. These boys dress nice. And these boys got good teeth. These boys didn't grow up poor. These boys are educated in some of the world's greatest universities. And they slaughter people because they have no understanding. They have no righteous understanding. So you can't just go with the two. You can't go with one or two. You got to get all three. If you're going to serve God and serve God properly, we need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And understand this as well. The devil has his counterfeit. The devil has his own unholy trio, if you will. Deny, disrupt, and destroy. And he never slacks off. Unlike Christians, we get one or two good points. We have one or two good days. Man, I'm through. Oh, yeah, I'm good. No. The devil constantly goes about seeking whom he can destroy. He never gets tired of pushing his three unholy Trinitarian words: deny, disrupt, and destroy. And his goal, his primary goal, is to always break up the unity of thought that we need as Christians. His primary goal is to always break up that wisdom, that godly wisdom, that godly knowledge, and that godly understanding. He's always trying to see, what can I do? What can I do to break this up? It started in the garden. It started in the garden. God had put Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them everything they possibly could use. He only gave them one command. He said, you just can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did the devil come along and do? Even in the garden, I said his job is to deny, disrupt, and destroy. What did he do in the garden? He said, are you sure? Hath God really said? Saints of God, people come at us every day with, are you sure that's the stand of the Bible? hath God really said? Are you sure that God wants you and me to protect life, unborn life that has no vote? No vote. They got no vote. Are you sure God wants you to stop people from destroying their own babies? Are you sure? And all God's people say, amen, yes, I'm sure, I'm sure, I'm sure. Until the devil says, oh, but what about the case of incest and rape? And all of a sudden, God's people get shaky because that hits home. God's people get shaky when you hit home. Let me try this. Here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, you protect life. You preserve life. But Pastor, what about in the case of incest and rape? The Bible says, if you're dead set on killing somebody, you kill the rapist. Oh, we get squeamish. We don't mind killing the babies who have done nothing, who have harmed no one. But the man who perpetrated the crime, all of a sudden we say, well, he needs to be rehabilitated. He needs this, he needs that. Church, where did that wisdom come from? Not from God's word. That's earthly wisdom. That's not from God's word. And that's a hard thing. But it's only hard if you haven't gotten to the practice of believing everything that God says is true. That's the only time it's difficult. But if you and I were to stand on the word of God and watch God do what he does, guess what? We'll no longer have women who have destroyed their own babies in the womb who wake up on what would have been their baby's birthday and just cry. Just cry. And I know that. I know that to be the fact. They just cry, y'all. Because if nobody else knows, she knows it was wrong. And then we come along and amen it. I did that with a friend when I was 25 years old. I can't ask God to forgive me enough. I'm 25 years old. I'm saved. I know the word of God. And my friend said, well, should I do this? Should I shouldn't do this? Should I? And I'm like, hey, you know, whatever you want to do. Where'd I get that from? Certainly not the word of God. And every day, not every day, but every now and again, the Lord brings that back to my mind. He says, now that you know better, do better. I'm challenging everybody here. Now that you know better, trust God. Trust, don't allow the devil to come in and deny and disrupt and destroy that which God says every child is a blessing. He didn't say how they got here was a blessing. He said every child is a blessing. Don't allow anybody or anyone or anything to disrupt that unity of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And if you have a woman or if you have a male friend who has participated in that abortion process, will you please let them know forgiveness is available? Will you please let them know that? So she doesn't wake up every birthday crying. Let her know that God says, if you come into agreement with him. Now, forgiveness ain't just, forgiveness is if you come into agreement with God and say, Lord, I was wrong. He goes, that's what I've been waiting for. I'll take that, I'll wash you clean, and I'll throw that one into the sea of forgetfulness. It's a done deal. But church, at some point, the Church of Jesus Christ has got to take a stand. As we gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we have got to take a stand. And the reason that the devil always tries to disrupt and deny is because whenever those three principles come together, whenever wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, whenever and wherever they come together, you know what? We could sit down and reason with one another. the things that God gives us to do, they're reasonable, saints. God, Jesus says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Now, that's the truth. But it's not light and it's not easy until we practice walking in the light. And we can sit down and reason with one another. Usually, this is just a note for you, wherever you see these three words, wisdom, knowledge, or understanding, wherever you see one of them in Scripture, not too far away from that, you're going to see the third word. Anytime you see two of them, either wisdom or knowledge, you're going to see that third word somewhere close by, because God keeps that unity of thought together for all of us. Think of it like this. When you think about the unity of this, of these three words, think of it like peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. It's just like cheeseburger and fries. Yeah. It's sort of like ham and eggs. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding all work best when served up together. Don't let that unity get away from you. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are always served up best together. And the Bible says, taste and see. It's good. Walking in God's light is good. Being obedient to the word of God. Sometimes, have you ever had one of those days where you got up out of bed, you said your prayers, you walked, the Lord told you to do X, Y, Z, you got to the grocery store, and the Lord said, look, see that person over there? Go over there and witness to him. And you say, I don't want to go witness to him. And then you say, I love that. And then you say, okay, Lord. And you go ahead, and that person says, you know what? I was asking the Lord this morning to bring somebody in my path who could tell me something about Jesus. And you just, oh, man, you're on cloud nine. You think, wow, man, did I just do good? But all you're doing is being obedient. It's just practice, y'all. It's just practice. The more that which you do most, that which we do most, we will do best. Being obedient to God, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Let's take a look at what happens when you have the disruption of that unity, when you have the disruption of that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Turn your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. When you let that unity of thought get away from you, when you let that holy Trinitarian grammatical phrase of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, when you let that get away from you, bad things happen. Here we see in Proverbs 24, 30, and 34, it reads, I went to the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Proverbs gives us an illustration. The writer says, I was out walking one day, and I saw a house that was broken down. And I went to the field of the slothful. You know what a slothful is? A sluggard. That's a do nothing man. That's a do nothing man. That's a man who just sort of goes along, get along, try to get by, do nothing man. He says, I went by his field and his vineyard, and this was a man who lacked understanding. He may have had wisdom. He may have had knowledge. But he lacked understanding. He didn't know how to take that wisdom and that knowledge and put it together. He just didn't have that together. And the writer says, I looked at his field. Now, when you got a field, I grew up on a farm, and when you look at a field, there's not supposed to be thorns and thistles. It's supposed to be nice rows and of grain and vegetables. And he says, but when I looked at his field, I saw thorns and nettles, and everything was broken down. And he said, and I looked at it. He said, I looked at it for life application. I looked at this man's situation, this man who had a field. Now, he wasn't broke. He had a field. But he did nothing with what he had. And so everything that he had was overgrown and useless. And this man took a life lesson from that. He said, I saw it and I considered it. I looked upon it and I received instruction. If I sleep too long, if I do nothing too long, then my poverty and all the ills that come along with that will come upon me like an armed bandit who just sort of walks up beside me and takes away what I have. That's how it happens with your field. But we can apply that same thought process, especially husbands, but it applies to everybody, but especially men. Since God has called us to be head, God has given you something to be over. He's given you something. And a little sleep, a little slumber, I put it off till I feel like doing it. I get around to it. And before you know it, your household, your life is filled with thorns and thistles. And you're going to wake up one day and say, what happened? What happened? The Bible says you lacked understanding. You lacked understanding. You would not take the wisdom and the knowledge and the word of God and put them all together and learn what is required of us in this life to move forward. And he says, and the poverty, that means the personal ruin, is going to overtake you like a bandit, like a thief in the night. All because you allowed Satan to take away that unity of thought, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He says in Proverbs 15:21a, first we talked about understanding, lack of understanding. In Proverbs 15:21a, he talks about the lack of wisdom. And when he talks about the lack of wisdom, he says, folly is a joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. When you have no wisdom, when we have no wisdom, we look at situations that are foolishness, absolute foolishness. Some of the movies we go see, some of the TV shows we sit down and watch, absolute foolishness. And we find joy in these movies. We find when people put on TV where you got two men, two women, so-called married. And we, oh, did you see that? That was so funny. We only do that when we lack wisdom. Because if God says something is an abomination, and he does, and it doesn't matter if it's in your house or my house, instead of laughing at it and getting joy out of it, we should rather mourn and pray for that situation. But instead, since we lack understanding and we lack wisdom, instead we say, well, you know, hey, you know, you can't help who you love. You know, hey, let live and let live, you know. That's only because when we allow the devil to disrupt that unity of thought, when he disrupts that, when he takes any one of those three ingredients out, wisdom,
knowledge, or understanding. When he takes any one of them out, we don't think well. Proverbs 11:12a. Proverbs 11:12a. He talks about the lack of wisdom, being void of wisdom. He says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. I love the Bible because the Bible gives us so much just regular, plain, old, everyday application of life. How do I get through this life? The Bible is my instruction book for getting through this life. He says, if you're void of wisdom, if you don't have any wisdom, that's the time when you despise your neighbor. Well, what did they say to Jesus when he was talking to him in the book of Luke? They said, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? This is where, when I can see the ignorance of racism, when I can see the ignorance of racism on all sides. See, because this book, by the way, in case you didn't know it, this book was written in Jerusalem. And this book was written by Jewish men who at the time considered Samaritans dogs. You talk about racism. And the Samaritans didn't think any more of them than they thought of themselves. So you got a group of people who judge another group of people strictly by their race. The Bible says, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. And so they asked Jesus, well, who is your neighbor? And he gave them a good illustration. He gave them a real good illustration. And guess what? He used a Jew and a Samaritan. He used a Jew and a Samaritan. And he said, a man left Jerusalem, which meant he was most likely a Jewish man. He left Jerusalem, and he headed down the path, and he got ambushed. He got ambushed. And the Bible says that a priest came by, Jewish priest came by, looked at him. Now, this is one of his brother man. Yeah, brother man. He's a mess. He crossed the street. The Bible says that a Levite came by, another brother man, and he looked at him, and he said, he's a mess. And then this Samaritan, you know, the folks who they call dogs? And don't try to fool yourself. Racism goes in every direction. Black folks, white folks, Mexican folks, Chinese folks, Asian folks. Racism, understand this. The devil is an equal opportunity employer. He ain't like Christians. See, we get hung up on stuff. He said, whatever I can use to deny, disrupt, or destroy, whatever I can use to get your mind off the things that God has told you to do, I'll do it. Because in Africa, you have black folks killing black folks. In Ireland, you got white folks killing white folks. In Mexico, you got Mexicans killing Mexicans. That's not racism. It's called sin, y'all. It's called sin. So when you see it here in America, stop labeling it. Stop mislabeling things. It's called sin. And this Samaritan came down. This Samaritan, this man who was laying on the ground, on a good day, he wouldn't even talk to this man. And the Samaritan came down. And he tended to his wounds. And he even left a little bit of extra money so that they could take care of him. And Jesus said to the men standing around him, and he said, which one of these three men was his neighbor? Which one didn't despise him? Which one cared for him? And the man said, the Samaritan? He said, yeah. He said, why don't you do likewise? Go and do likewise. But Lord, you don't know what these folks have done to me. Guess what? He said, do you know what these folks did to him? He said, they took him up and they put him on a cross. He wasn't nothing but goodness. Jesus ain't nobody but goodness. And they put him, Jesus said, do you know what they did to me? What y'all did to me? All of y'all, mankind, Roman, Jew, and Gentile? You know what you did to me? You hung me on a cross. Now, I know you had some horrible experiences. I know everybody in here has got a story to tell. But Jesus says, if you want to know righteousness, look at me. Look at the cross. You want to see injustice, look at the cross. And if you can't do it for their sake, do it for my sake. Can I get an amen on that? If you can't do it for their sake, because some folks are really, 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 really hard to love. And that's just the fact of life. But he said, if you can't do it for their sake, then do it for my sake so that they might know me. It'll baffle them. Whenever God does something wonderful, it baffles the heathen. The devil just wants to disrupt that unity of thought. He wants to deny, disrupt, and destroy. We talked about the lack of understanding. We talked about the lack of wisdom. Now, we're going to talk about the lack of knowledge. Turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Again, we want to keep this unity of thought together because when we have this threefold cord, it's not quickly broken. People can't throw the okey-doke on you when you got wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, godly understanding. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I'm afraid that what's going on in America today has a lot to do with folks my age and not too far from my age, to where we grew up saying, my parents made me go to church. And when I get grown, ain't nobody gonna make me do nothing. And when I have my children, I'm not gonna make them do nothing. That's a lack of knowledge. And because of that, he says it right here in the Word of God, because of that lack of knowledge, he's talking specifically to Israel. But by application, it's for us. Because of that lack of knowledge, we are being destroyed from the inside out, church. And it's not because the knowledge is not available. He tells you right here, it's not because the knowledge is not available. He says, because you have taken what I taught you and you reject it. We know what's true. We know what's right. And then we come up and we say, I just ain't going to do it. God, people have scared me. Talking about, yeah, I know that's wrong. And God just going to have to deal with me on that. I jump back. I get away from them. Yeah, I know I'm not to hold that kind of attitude. I know that. But he says, you have rejected. Not that you didn't know. Not that you don't know. We know. But we have made a decision to reject the truth of God. And one thing, and God says, because you have rejected me, I'm setting your children over here. I'm letting them go in a free fall for a little bit. Because you made a choice to reject me. Oh, but the good news is at any time, we say, oh, Lord, whoop, sorry, bad move. But what if my kids are grown? Don't matter. When I get to the point that I know better, I got to do better. I got to do better. I got to go to my children and I got to say, you know what daddy taught you back then? Oh, it's humiliating, but oh my goodness. You got to say, that was wrong. And why? How do I know it's wrong? Because it does not add up with what's in this book. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you tell your children and I'll tell my children, I was wrong. I was just plain old flat wrong. And when we do, what does God do with that sin? Here's another one to chunk into the sea of forgetfulness. Boom. Here, I'm through with it, y'all. Now that you confessed it, now that you come into agreement with me, I'm through with it. But what he said here, and I when you read the book of Hosea, Bible's got good entertainment in it as well. And when you read the book of entertainment, the children of Israel had gotten so far away from God. They got so far away from him, And I'm paraphrasing this, but this is what he says. God says, psst, come here. And I don't want any of y'all to ever hear this. I don't want anybody in here to hear God speak to you in this manner. God said to the children of Israel and Hosea, because they just sinned, wouldn't do right for nothing. And God said, psst, come here. And he says, when you go out in public, will you please don't let anybody know that you know me? Because you're a shame and abomination to me. Oh, my goodness. God said that to his chosen people. And if he said that to his chosen people, I don't want him to say it to anybody hearing the sound of my voice. But since he's got a history of saying it, I know if we let ourselves get that far away, one day you're going to hear, psst, come here. If you're going to act that way, would you please not let anybody know that you call on the name of Jesus? Would you please not let anybody know? Because I don't want them to think that I condone that kind of thinking, that kind of living, that kind of doing. When you lack knowledge, when we lack wisdom, when we lack understanding, there's a disruption. There's a critical and crucial disruption in the unity of our thought. But the blessing of the power of three. Let's go to our next heading, the blessing of the power of three. It's when you have understanding. When we finally say, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to serve you. He says, turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 12. Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 12, 32, and we'll do part A. 1 Chronicles 12, 32, part A. And it reads, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You see that? He said they had understanding. That means they had taken knowledge and wisdom, and they had married the two of them together underneath the banner of the holiness of God. And he says, when these men, because they had understanding, you know what they did? They understood everything. They could pick up the newspaper, they could pick up the Jerusalem Post, and they could say, you know what, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong, that's right. They use the J word, y'all. I know Christians don't like using the J word, but the J word is in the Bible. Judgment. Yes, 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 we are called to judge. Amen. We are called to judge, because how are you going to know whether or not to hang out with that person over there unless you judge that person? Amen. How do you know whether or not you're supposed to walk into that crowd over there unless you make a judgment? It's in the Bible. Stop telling people, judge not, lest ye be judged. Read the rest of the scripture. Amen. We're commanded to judge. And just like the sons of Issachar, the men of Issachar, because they had understanding, because they had wisdom, because they had knowledge, they could look at the political scene, they could look at the religious scene, and they knew the law of the land, and they knew judgment, because they had wisdom and knowledge, and they were not afraid. They did not, under any circumstance, separate their religion from their politics. Let me say that one more time. They did not, under any circumstance, separate their religion from their politics, because whatever your religion is, whatever it is you believe, determines your politics. That's the word of God. It's always the heathen telling you, oh, separation of church and state. It's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. That's your taxes. That's what you owe Caesar. Pay your taxes. And after that, it's God's. Whatever the issue, you filter it through scripture first. If you have wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you filter every thought, every judgment, every piece of information, we filter it through the word of God, just like the men of Issachar. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 6, and it reads, when we're talking about the blessing of the power of three, when you have that wisdom, that understanding, and that knowledge, look what the Bible says. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. The Bible says right there, there's all three of them: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You see how they're all coupled together? And he says, if you lack wisdom, you know what the Bible says? It says, seek wise counsel. No man is an island. No man can go through this world on his own, just figuring out everything. I know some of y'all are extremely bright, but guess what? The Bible says, seek wise counsel. He says, in a multitude of counsel, there's great safety. And this may be a flash for some folks. When he says a multitude of counsel, he does not mean me, myself, and I. Amen. That's not what he means. He says, seek out somebody who you know is a godly somebody who can give you some wise counsel. Because none of us know it all. I know in Sunday school you guys talked about Solomon, King Solomon, wisest man who ever lived, but he still had to seek wise counsel because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And the Bible tells us that we will build our houses through wisdom, we will fill our chambers through knowledge, and we will be strengthening increase, we'll be strengthened through understanding. It's right there, church. It's right there. But you got to come, and you have to study, and you have to learn the word of God. Spend some time with God on your own. Oh, my. And it's a wonderful thing. He always blesses. He always blesses. Last thing. Understand, there are two types of wisdom. And you see it. I know you see it. But we don't often pay attention to it. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's man's wisdom, and there's God's wisdom. And they have two separate and distinct ends. God's wisdom leads unto godliness. Man's wisdom leads unto destruction. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. And let's see what the Bible says about those two different kinds of wisdom. Because sometimes we admire people, we actually lift up people who have nothing but worldly wisdom. And we go, oh man, he's so smart. Well, the first thing you got to ask yourself, is he saved? Is he saved? And if he's not saved, all he has is worldly wisdom. And the end thereof is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. And it reads, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." That's the good news of Jesus Christ, y'all. "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." When you read this passage, he clearly delineates for us. There's godly wisdom and there's men's wisdom. But look at what the preacher says. The preacher says, and don't y'all forget, Paul was one of the most educated men in Scripture. Paul said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I studied at the Hebrew University. He said, I'm a smart guy. He said, I got it together. As far as this world is concerned, he said, I got credentials. I got credentials. And since God knows that people are really, really impressed with three-syllable words is one thing. Don't let a man step up here with four syllables. Christians go slap out their mind. Whoa, did you hear that? Oh, and did you hear the way he let it roll off of his tongue? We're so enthralled with man's wisdom. And so Paul said, I'm not going to come at you like that. Paul said, I'm not going to come at you with worldly wisdom. I'm going to come at you with something that can't be denied. I'm going to come at you with the power of the cross. I'm going to come at you with the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching now. No room for foolish preaching. But I'm going to come at you with the foolishness of preaching. And he says, God says, because I'm going to take all that worldly wisdom and I'm going to just trash it. I'm going to trash it. He says, because if I get caught up in worldly wisdom, the word of God, the cross becomes of none effect. If I can come up here and spin a yarn good enough to bring you so-called to faith, if I can talk you into Jesus, somebody else can and will talk you out of Jesus. That's what worldly wisdom does. But I come here with, I got nothing but the cross. That's all I got. You hear me say it a lot. It ain't deep. It ain't deep. He said, it pleased God. God is sitting. The Bible says that God sits in the heavens. And he laughs. See, y'all didn't know God. See, y'all watch TV for comedy. God watch us for comedy. He said, God sits in the heavens and he laughs as the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing. As they sit down and they try to tell each other, they try to let each other know, you know what? If I just do a whole lot of good. If I do really a good, if I stop smoking, if I stop drinking, if I stop cussing, if I stop chasing women, if I stop doing all these things, I'm certain that's going to get me in heaven. Amen. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show up at church every now and again, and I'm going to give God a little tip when I get there. I'm saying, here's some money for you, God. Here. And that's got to get me into heaven. God said, I took away all that reasoning when I sent my son to the cross. He said, I took away all of it. He said, because some people don't have the intellectual capacity that other people have. That's just the way it is. But you know what? Everybody has the ability to believe. Everybody has the ability to believe. And that's why God said, I have taken the foolishness of the cross. I have taken the foolishness of preaching to get these guys up here who some are educated, some are not educated, but they got to be sold out for God. He goes, I want them to preach. And that's that foolishness, that message is what's going to save all of mankind. See, because that's not God, that's not wisdom, that's the power of God. The fact that his son came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins and mine, that's the power of God. That's not dependent upon anybody's wisdom. That's not dependent upon anybody's vocabulary. That's not dependent upon anybody's money. It is dependent upon the power of God. On Calvary's cross, we saw God's wisdom and God's power on display. We saw everything that we need to know about entering into the kingdom of heaven. everything that everybody, look at how good God is. God made it a level playing field. He's no matter where you're from, no matter what your culture, no matter what your socioeconomic standard, he says, on that day, God's wisdom and God's power was on display. We talked about the power of three. On that day, on Calvary, there was three crosses. At Calvary, there were three men. Three men on three crosses. And on that day, all three men went to the grave. All three men went to the grave. But on the third day, only one got up. Only one. That's foolishness to folks, y'all, but that's the power of God. The question, when it comes down to salvation, the question of the day, do you believe that or do you don't believe that? Told you, Christianity ain't deep. It's just not that deep. Do you believe he did what he said he did or don't you? Do you believe that the creator of all heavens and earth, the one who created the whole heavens and earth in 6 days and kicked back on the seventh, do you believe that he had the power to let his son go down into the grave and raise him back up after 3 days? If you believe that, it's my privilege to tell you that if you believe that, salvation is yours. Amen. Salvation is yours. And guess what? It's a gift. That's called good news, y'all. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you know why God has given us a gift of salvation? It comes down to this. If you'll stop calling me a liar, I'll give you the free gift. I paid for it. My son paid for it. But I'll give you the gift of salvation. Not of works, lest some man should boast as to how good he was instead of how good God is. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. God bless you.